The Old Testament reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, Jerusalem, and shine like the sun. The glory of the Lord is shining on you. Other nations will be covered by darkness, but on you the light of the Lord will shine. The brightness of his presence will be with you. Nations will be drawn to your light, and kings to the dawning of your new day. Look around you and see what is happening. Your people are gathering to come home. Your sons will come from far away. Your daughters will be carried like children. You will see this and be filled with joy. You will tremble with excitement. The wealth of the nations will be brought to you. From across the sea, their riches will come. Great caravans of camels will come from Midian and Ephah. They will come from Sheba, bringing gold and incense. People will tell the good news of what the Lord has done. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Brad, for that. Brad is over there standing under the Star of Damocles, right? It was here for Christmas Eve when we were celebrating in the style of a Mexican tradition, Las Posadas. But rather than burst the star, which is a piñata, traditionally happens, we were able to preserve it, and it also makes sense because the star shines over the story that I'll read you just now, as the wise ones, the magi, came to see the child. So listen to the word of the Lord from Matthew in the second chapter. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard of this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I too may go and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star was there, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him then. Opening treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, your word comes to us with every bit of complexity of the lives that we lead. Lives that from time to time are full of great abundance, and at other times, Lord, are lacking something for us, lacking something for our whole world, lacking something for our nation, lacking. And so you lead us to places where we can find nurture. And so you led them, that family, to a place where they could find nurture for their child. And we pray that this remembrance over these last weeks of Advent would fuel our joy, would fuel our our delight in the fact that it's not just for this season, but for every season of our life. As I tried to remind some of us this week that you've said, Lord Jesus, that you have gone to prepare a place for us because in that place there's room for us all. And that you invite us to begin to see ourselves resident there once our residence here is completed. So God, give us words, give us the heart, give me the mouth to speak something that would be of encouragement to us all. And may the words of my mouth, and join me if you wish, and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in many places, obviously, if you were watching television, and we always like to tune in, we tuned in YouTube because that was all the television we had last night, but saw fireworks going off around the world. Anybody else do that? You know, in London, there was something spectacular that included images and words from the Queen, in Australia, in Qatar, other places. And then wherever we were, which was relatively quiet in that neighborhood, except when I was out walking the dog, unfortunately, and there were fireworks, and he did not like them. But for many people, New Year's begins on a different day. There are, in fact, 40 different calendars that are used around the world to keep track of time. And those calendars designate, many of them, other occasions to say it's a new year. We often think of the Chinese New Year that comes in, and Jewish New Year is different. The first calendar was devised by the Sumerians, one of the oldest and first civilizations to settle in the world. That was 5,000 years ago. They used calendars, and calendars were devised looking at the stars and the moon and the sun. In particular, they used them to plant their crops, to discern times and occasions. It was a lunar calendar. There are only three kinds of calendars: lunar calendars, solar calendars, and then a kind of hybrid called lunar solar, of course. So the Sumerians had a lunar calendar as the Egyptians did. They had it 25,000 years ago. And that gets us a little bit closer to Epiphany, because their calendar judged the beginning of the new year when the star, Sirius, the dog star we call that, was the closest to the sun. That designated their new year. And then the calendar that we use, the Gregorian calendar, dates back to the 16th century. Right about the time when our faction, our portion of the Christian church, when the Reformation happened. During that movement, Pope Gregory the 13th put the Gregorian calendar into place, in particular because he wanted followers of Jesus, Catholic people and other people, to be able especially to know when Easter happened, when the day of resurrection happened, because he saw that as the centerpiece of time. So what is New Year Day for us? It's a time to reflect, a time to look back, or a time to flee, as the case may be, all that happened last year, some of which will follow us into this year. The good news, and I'm convinced of this from the bottom of my heart, let alone my feet, the good news is that we've celebrated, what we've just celebrated in the birth of Jesus, our Savior, makes all the difference in the world. Not necessarily in the outcome of every event that happens. Bad stuff will happen this year. I need my sermon up the front there. Yeah, let's back up a little bit. Back up a little bit. Let's go on ahead. There. Okay, there we go. Thank you. There we are. This is the good news. The good news is that we are on belay. Christ is holding the rope of our discipleship, of our very lives, the rope that we're using to scale the mountain. The Holy Spirit is on the other end at the bottom. That's what it means to be on belay. Someone is on the top. helping with ropes as you climb. Someone is down below making sure they don't snag. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Heavenly Father is at the summit waiting for us to hoist ourselves over the top. On our topographic map, the mountain that we're climbing is called 2023. Who knows what we'll encounter on the way, but look at who is guiding us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This isn't to say that it's just our Herculean effort that helps us overcome and helps us climb, help us achieve that. We're nothing without the grace of God operating through us. But on the other hand, the Holy Spirit wouldn't sew many quilts, wouldn't serve much soup, wouldn't teach many children, wouldn't heal many broken bodies, wouldn't settle many immigrants or love many children or grandchildren if we weren't saying, Hineni Adoheinu, here I am, Lord. The best news, the best Christmas present is yet to be fully unwrapped. When I was a kid, my mother would often say we would do this very thing. We would like make a mess, tear everything open. And then she would say, oh, there was something that fell off the sleigh. You know what that meant? She didn't have time to wrap it, so she would just go out and get it. Yesterday, my birthday, Kristen brought wonderful things to me. She happens to know my love languages. Some of you know about that. You know the five love languages: words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts. Hers happen to be words of affirmation and receiving gifts. So I love to do those things. For me, it's about quality time and about giving things. So we had an event where we were at the St. Paul Hotel. We're going to go see the Van Gogh exhibit in Madison. And then she's sending me to Hades. How about that? Actually, Hades Town. She's sending me to Hades Town, the musical. We have presents to unwrap. And the biggest one is the present that we have in Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? So besides the new year, we're celebrating Epiphany. Epiphany is a realization. It's a discovery. And it's sometimes accompanied by a sign. Tradition has the day of Epiphany taking 12 days, placed 12 days after Christmas, January 6th. That's why we have that song, The 12 Days of Christmas. And it's this day that we associate the visit of the Magi to see the Christ child. Did you notice when I read it? It says Magi or wise men, but it doesn't say how many. Tradition tells us that there were three because of the gifts that were mentioned, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We notice that they met Mary and Jesus at a home, and Jesus himself was no longer an infant. He was some grown. We find out a few verses later because Herod, fearful of what was going to happen because of this child, went out seeking children who were 2 years old and younger. It suggests that this star, this sign, was in the sky for a long time, the star of Bethlehem, and that the Magi had been following it for some time. Wise men from another land, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the involvement of a king, a power, a political power, Herod, and the prediction of one coming to take his place. What Matthew's doing is pointing exactly to what Brad read from Isaiah. Matthew is pointing us to this great hope that Israel had, the people of Israel, that they would shine light through their nation that would draw the entire world to them, that would make them preeminent among the nations. Countless camels will cover their land. That's why we see these images of the Magi on camels, young camels from Midian and Ephah. They come from Sheba, from carrying gold and incense, proclaiming the Lord's praises. And this same entourage, this same coming of this flowering of Israel, instead of bronze, I'll give you gold. Instead of iron, I'll bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. So many of these images have to do with the way that we celebrate Christmas today. Silver bells, silver bells. And finally, it says in the prophet, the sun will no longer be your light by day, nor the moon shine for illumination at night. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Your God will be your glory. And the point of all that for them and the point for us is not that this one nation succeeded where others failed, but this nation succeeded precisely because they recognized the God who created them, that through Abraham and Sarah, and they made covenant. And that covenant was offered through them to the entire world and is now offered to us. And we can make covenant and make peace with the God who is calling us. So these are just some thoughts I had in light of that, in light of Epiphany, about how we can go forward as followers of Jesus into this new year, that this light would be with us, not a material light, not wealth that satisfies our human lusts, but or the power or the force that would help us overcome people, but these kinds of things, that God would lead us to be mindful as we enter this year, that we would breathe, that we wouldn't be escalated into stress by the world of the internet or all that's going on around us, that we'd be as non-judgmental as we could be as the people around us. And that when we feel something, and it's entirely appropriate that we just feel in response to life, that we'd ask ourselves, what's that about? And be curious and listen for the Holy Spirit. Listen for an inner voice speaking to us. So I encourage us to be mindful as the year begins. I encourage us to be disciplined in a way. And one of the tools of discipline that I encourage is that at the beginning of a day or at the end of a day or even in the middle of the night, if that's when you're up and around, that you would find time to just be in a place and listen to God through reading scripture, through listening to an app, somehow, so that your life can be centered on Christ. And then to let yourself think your own thoughts and not be captivated by the ones that come that aren't helpful. You know, someone said, if we spoke to other people the way we speak to ourselves, we wouldn't have any friends. You know that one? Yeah, that we can be thoughtful about how we're thinking our thoughts to ourselves. And then this word has a lot of meaning, sobriety. And I took this phrase from the Book of Common Prayer. This is from the confession, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life in all that we do, that we can be thoughtful, that we can be mindful, that we can be disciplined, that we can be intentional, that our acts of kindness not be random, but intentional as we move into this year. And that perhaps we could pray the prayer that Reinhold Niebuhr taught to the entire world in the 1930s. This is a little different version of what we call the Serenity Prayer, and I invite us to pray this right now. O God and Heavenly Father, grant to us the serenity of mind to accept that which cannot be changed, courage to change that which can be changed, and wisdom to know the one from the other, through Jesus Christ our Lord.